Are you sick and tired and lost wandering through the internet wilderness looking and searching for a real way to make money from anywhere? You've probably been bitten and drained of your time, money, and resources only to get trapped in the next new shiny object syndrome. Well, some girlfriends have found a way out of the wilderness and into partnering with a well-established billion-dollar company that allows them the flexibility of growing an extra paycheck per month or even a six-figure business. Most savvy girlfriends would get curious and a little bit excited. Hey, if this is you and you want to know more, go to ProfitEnjoy.com. You may find a home in ProfitEnjoy.com, or you can decide not to go and continue roaming in that internet wilderness.
I was a gay, gay girl. 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 Back in France in the 60s, it was all so
hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with a Girlfriend with Christine Marie and Julie.
Hello, Julie. I'm Christine Marie, and I'm the mama around here.
Yes. And I just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast. We've been on for a long time, years and years and years.
Long time.
And we know that you have many options now because everybody has a podcast.
You know, in the old days, you didn't have that many options. You had to listen to
us. Yes, but
now you listen to us by choice, hopefully.
And we hope to bring a little bit of joy, a little bit of lightness to your week.
Yes.
And, you know, we do throw in some
We hope that we
coaching.
Throw in some coaching.
Yeah.
Some wise tidbits.
Yeah.
Some pearls of wisdom.
In the midst of living ordinary lives always trying to expand and so forth. And so, and we hope more than anything, you feel like you're part of our family.
Yes, you're a girlfriend.
You're a girlfriend.
No matter what your peepee's like.
That's right. Meaning male or female.
Right.
Or transgender or not.
Transitioning.
Well, we're
already transitioned.
Yes.
We don't care what your peepee's like. You're a girlfriend.
Exactly.
Is that okay to say that?
I think peepee's a fun word.
Yeah.
It's like QQ, RR. When you say any letter doubled, it's like, woo, this is fun.
It's fun.
You know, like Carney G, is that her name?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's her name. I can't remember. It's, you know, when she does, okay, no.
Okay.
You know, she's saying that R over and over again, even though there's no R in okay.
I can't do it.
Is she saying okay?
I think she's saying okra.
Okra. When I went to Quebec and I to Jovan's and I was in my voice training class where we manifested with our voice, one of our techniques was to master the trilling of the R.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody could do it but me, but I got better at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I practiced and I got better at it. So
it's not something Americans do.
Oh, hey, I did a pretty good job of that. That was really good.
But you know, I was listening to, I don't know if this dates me, but I was listening to Bob and Tom.
No, and, it doesn't date you at all. No, go ahead.
And a girl had emailed them and said that she used to listen to them years and years ago with her mom.
Yeah.
I guess it does date me a little bit. But
and
she said that she first heard the word vagina on their show, and she never knew what vagina was because they always called it pee-pee in their house.
Yeah.
And I kind of like, I was grateful that, you know, I had three younger brothers, you know, and so we had one word for genitals, that was pee-pee.
Right.
You know, and then
mostly because a two-year-old can't say genitals.
And we had one word for, you know, whatever the proper word for anus is, was culo.
Culo.
Culo. So you have your pee-pee and your culo.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Isn't she on the star on The Big Bang Theory? Culo. Isn't that her last name?
No. Katie Culo.
Katie Culo. If she only knew.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, I understand it's all proper to have a little, you know, two-year-old saying, you know, mommy, my vagina hurts, you
yes.
know, or whatever. But come on, really, until you're about 5 or 6 or 7, isn't it just great to say pee-pee?
I think so,
am I
too.
Wrong?
No, you're not. I don't think you're wrong. And maybe we're just traditionalists. Maybe we're not progressive enough. I don't know.
We're not progressive enough because, you know, like you said, you have like a little 9-month-old, you know, like, you know, oh, my vagina is wet or whatever.
And that has a different connotation than my pee-pee's wet.
Yeah.
Because my pee-pee's wet meaning like, hey, I just peed my pants, people. My pee-pee's wet. They're like, okay. But when a woman goes, or when a person goes, my vagina's wet.
Yeah.
That has a little bit of a weirder connotation to it. And I don't want those words coming out of a 5-year-old. Well, I just don't.
Here's the thing, too. It's different, like, you know, you know they have those huggy pull-ups or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, so a little 3-year-old's going, you know, hey, my huggy pull-up, my pee-pee, I pee-peed in my huggy pull-up or whatever. Right. But if you're saying, you know, my vagina is wet due to that I had some excrement in it, you know, you're like, okay, you're old enough to go to the potty then.
Yeah, yes. Now, okay.
If you now can... you're old enough. If you're using doctor terms.
Right.
Then you're old enough to perform surgery on yourself.
Yeah.
You're old enough to get rid of the hug ups, huggy pull ups.
If you know how to do a tourniquet and pronounce the word tourniquet, and you can pull the defibrillator off the wall in the office, then you're old.
You're old enough not to wear a diaper.
That's right. You know, but there is that fine line because, as you know, mother,
as you age,
there are commercials now, and those women look more and more like me every day, and like. And you know, I remember Joan Rivers had this joke. God rest her soul. Yeah.
She was making the sign of the cross.
Not worthy, Joan Rivers. No. Okay, but here she is. I remember that she wanted to come up with, she wanted to be the spokesperson for, you know, that little lifeline button.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can't get up. I've fallen. I can't get up. Right. And you push the button and people come and save you, right?
Right.
But she said, my gosh. Can you make those look more attractive, like a brooch or a pretty necklace?
Yes.
And I'm like, that's exactly right.
Right.
And so finally, you know, like now the adult pull-ups, for lack of a better word, they look quite pretty.
Oh.
Don't you think so?
I haven't seen one yet.
No, well, on the TV commercials.
Right, yeah, right, right.
And they've got, you know, I mean, they've got stars wearing them now.
I thought you were going to say they got stars on them.
And they do. I don't think they have superheroes.
Red, white, and blue.
Because you know, adults my age cosplay. And so they do have superheroes on them. And, you know, and they got the Game of Thrones people on them. And, like, that's a dragon, man. Dude, I like my pull-ups, you know. And in some ways, I look forward to that time when I get to.
No.
Well, because right now when I buy them. And with the comic strips on them, I just feel a little weird. Like, I'm not really there for them yet. I like them because they have comic strips on them. And I get more than just a day use out of it.
Well, also, too, if you got comic strips on your adult pull-ups, you're reading them on the pot. Wait, these are on the inside.
That's right. Thank you. Or, like, on the floor. Like, oh. I go, I don't need my, and they're far enough away from my face that I can read them. I don't need my ones, which is good. I'm by 1.5 now.
Maybe they come with some readers.
Ah.
That'd be a little uncomfortable.
That would be, oh, just, yeah, that's so funny, though.
Unless they're like 3D, like you go to a show and you get the 3D ones. What do they call those things? 3D? Yeah.
Yeah, 3D glasses. Yeah. That would be horrible. That would be like, you know, or it could be even crazier. Remember back in the 80s and 90s when they have these posters and it looked like nothing but repeated patterns, but if you stared a long time at it, it would be dolphins jumping over the moon.
Yeah,
or something weird like that.
They were called like something eye art.
Yes.
Something like that.
Exactly.
So I have a question for you.
Oh, you do? Go for it.
Okay, so you and I, we watched a movie called Rim of the World.
Yes. Okay. Rim of the World.
And it was cute and scary.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yes, it was. It was bipolar. It was truly bipolar.
Yeah. But it did take place in California.
Of course. enough said. Enough. And it was directed by McGee.
Yes.
That's
same guy that did
I think he does Supernatural and Buffy, doesn't he?
Well, at least Supernatural. I think I did. Yeah, you're right, Buffy.
I think he directed or produced or something with both those. I'm pretty sure. So he's a little crazy. Got a little crazy sense of humor.
Yeah, and I think it was cute. But so I don't, without giving away the plot.
Please, we can give away a little of the plot. Okay.
But
let's put our Sherpa hats on and recommend this one. This is a Netflix movie, people.
89 minutes.
How dare Netflix?
A fun joy.
You know, we have been debating about getting rid of our Dish for years.
Yes.
Because, but the problem with Netflix. Because
when we started, it was like $60 a month. Now it's like $130.
And we have less TV.
That's just wrong.
And we have less TV.
We never watch TV.
Well.
I watch The Voice.
Yes. The problem when we watch TV on the Dish, you get changed channels.
Yes.
That's fun, you know?
It is.
It's kind of like passive watching.
People still like to surf.
We're not millennials. We're not, you know, so, but damn the Netflix, because, you know, that is the only time you really want to binge.
Yeah.
And last night, well, let's first of all, I'm not talking about last night.
Oh, yeah, you can, but not now.
No. Let's talk about Room in the World, because
I wanted to ask you a question about Room in the World.
Go for it.
This is, and if, when I saw this, okay, so I don't know how to set it up without giving anything away. No, I'm just kidding.
Give it all away.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It's a formulated
but
movie.
But it's about, I think it's four kids that end up saving the world.
Yeah.
Okay. And Room of the World is a camp that they find themselves in Northern California or something like that. But anyway, so each of the kid is deeply flawed, sort of like in Breakfast Club or any children's movie.
Right.
Each kid has their own particular deep flaw.
Right.
And during the movie, before the third act, we see how terrible and deep that flaw is.
Right.
And then during the third act, we see how they must use their particular flaw, overcome their particular flaw to become the superhero that they are. To save the world.
Got it. Love it.
Now you know.
Now I know.
What I'm going to ask you.
Okay. What?
What is your superhero flaw? What is your flaw that if the aliens came today and your particular flaw that you had to overcome to save the world, what would it be? Is it too challenging? Is it too personal?
No. Too personal. Because it would really be a flaw that is a true flaw.
Right.
Not a flaw that's masked in I'm too kind. I'm too caring.
Yeah. And because one of the kids had a true flaw.
A true flaw. Yeah. I think my true flaw is I truly only have about 2 hours of productivity in me a day. You know, where like I'm really like my mind's firing all cylinders and I feel like can take the world on fire.
Yeah.
And then as I get farther and farther away from those two precious hours, I'm like, oh my gosh.
So basically, if you can't save the world sometime between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m.
I think the world's screwed.
They got to wait till the next day.
Yeah, or like I make mistakes or like things take a little longer, you know. What would you think, like I could say that your superhero fault. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, what does Jordan Peterson call it? Your, I guess.
Vulnerability?
No.
Your value?
No, the opposite of those.
Yeah.
The opposite of your values. Because you know your faults.
Virtues.
The opposite of virtues.
Yes. Yeah,
anti-virtues.
Yeah.
You really are ambivalent towards people. like crowds turn you off.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like, hey, you know what? You're in this mess yourself.
Yeah.
Work it out. You know, I don't need to save you.
Well, no. See, I think that comes from my therapeutic background.
Oh.
Because I'm able to hold the energy of, you know, being in craziness or being.
That's true.
So I'm like, let's this play out a little bit.
Well, that's exactly how you feel.
Since you're going there.
Yes. Okay.
I think that, people have told me that when enough is enough for me, I'm a cannon shooter.
That's right.
I think that when the aliens come and, you know, I've about had enough with them.
Right.
You know,
hey, I've opened my door to you. We could be sharing. And now I saw you killed my dog.
Yeah.
And now I've had enough.
Yeah. And now F you.
F you.
Watch out.
Got it.
Mama's on the loose.
That's right.
Yeah.
And mama's got guns you don't know about.
That's right.
Can I tell a quick story?
Yeah.
You had some, you were, I remember listening to you talking to somebody, this is years and years ago, probably 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. You were buying a minivan. It was like 14 grand at the time. Mm-hmm. And you're like, and he goes, well, let's get you some finance. I go, no, I'll just pay cash for it. And he goes, well, what? Do you just have 14 grand of cash hanging around your house? He goes, aren't you afraid somebody's going to break in and steal it? And you're like, no, I've got it protected by Smith and Wesson.
Motherfucker. I said, I have two security guards.
I have two security dogs
named Smith and Wesson.
And I
shut that up.
Yeah, he's like, all right. And I'm like, really, mother, you do?
That's I was like channeling make my day dude,
which is so funny because everybody around me, nobody, yeah, Clint Eastwood, sure, yeah, everybody around me goes tough like that and they pull the gun card. Literally nobody in my family or friends has guns,
right?
Doug literally has a gun card and has never bought a gun, never held a gun, never shot it, because like, yeah, maybe someday I might need to,
yeah.
You know, zombie apocalypse. Right. I won't have time to go through a background check if the world is ending. They'll just shut that shit down.
Right.
So I should get a gun card just,
yeah,
in case.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a whole lot of stupid in that, by the way.
I understand.
In that thought. Nothing about Doug.
But he sometimes just wants to pull the gun card, Mom.
Right.
And now he literally can.
Yeah, but I literally pulled the gun card.
You literally said the word Smith and Wesson, which I don't ever hear that anymore. I don't. They had a business?
I don't know.
I mean, in movies, they never referenced Smith and Wesson.
Right.
But I think in the 70s.
It was probably 20 years ago or so.
Yeah.
So I was appropriate back at that time.
Back at that time. But I'm not sure, you know, my semi-automatic, I don't know what you...
My AR-47, whatever.
Yeah, my AR-47. I don't 52.
Know.
My Area 51 is going to protect me. You know, I don't know. Okay. So would you say that Rim of the World is a good movie to watch?
I enjoyed it.
I enjoy it, too.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it's definitely a popcorn movie.
Yeah.
It's not scary.
89 minutes.
It's archetypal.
Yes. What I loved about it.
And it's four great kid characters.
Yeah.
It felt like Goonies for modern times.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't take the camp situation seriously.
Right.
And so it almost felt like they could have thrown in more sex and made it like a one of those.
A little bit older movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so they took out the sex part and had goofy counselors not really watching the kids.
Yeah, the goofy counselors, we know, rather than they're having sex, they're just being goofy and drinking and stuff.
Yeah.
We know they're going to die.
Something's going to happen to them,
yeah,
you know.
We know that.
And then you have the four heroes.
Yeah.
And Netflix really does have a formula for their movies.
Yes.
Which is, you're never sure where you're going to be pulled or drawn. It's almost like a movie inside another movie inside of another movie.
Oh, yeah.
But I would highly recommend this. Don't think of it as, you know, I don't know, Avengers. Think of it as an hour and 40 minutes of a fun time.
Definitely.
You know? Just ignore the phone in the background. They know I'm doing a show. What's wrong with you?
Ignore the phone.
Ignore the phone.
So
in the background.
So do you think I was right in terms of my superhero? You know, that would be my superhero
flaw
character. Yeah,
that you liked. Well, no, because that really isn't the flaw. That you like to let things go first, like see how things play out.
Mm-hmm. And then I just at some point go, enough is enough, people.
Yeah, that's not, why is
and
that a
I
flaw? That's like one of those flaws. So like I'm just too strong for my own good. I'm just too hard of a worker.
Oh, so then
I'm too diligent.
So that's not my real true superhero character.
No, it really isn't.
Well, then what would it be then?
It's sort of like, what is your kryptonite? What is your weakness?
Yeah.
You know, that...
Yeah. In the movie Rim of the World, all the kids were fatherless in some sense.
Yes. I would think that your weakness would be, you really hate it when your nails get chipped. I mean, like, to the point of the pet, like, you're like, I'm not doing that stuff. Yeah, I was thinking about, we were listening to the radio show one time. I don't know what radio show it was, and they were interviewing a psychotherapist. And they were talking about, well, when people come to you for counseling, do you give them advice? And you're like, no, that's not what counseling is all about.
Right.
And I think that's why you're a good counselor. It's, you don't want to get caught. It's like, this is your, right. You're not going to therapy to get advice.
Right.
You're going to therapy to have someone witness your own personal transformation, yeah. working it out, and yeah. asking the right questions.
Asking the right questions, and also keep pointing in an appropriate direction.
Right.
You know,
if there's a rabbit hole
you're going down, I may say let's switch it up a bit. You know?
Exactly.
I may say not this rabbit hole again.
Yeah.
But
let's stop this. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we've said this story 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Where are we at in the onion? Are you in the last layer of the onion yet?
Yeah.
Or really are you just bringing up stuff because
it really is true though. We are only our stories. It's so true. Mm-hmm. And we're learning this week. We're listening to Jordan. And of course, we know this as coaches, that we're only as good as our stories. And so we keep trying to tell
a better story.
And
as coaches,
lying.
We have to, without lying.
Well,
and it's so
funny.
Without
lying.
Okay,
people.
I want to talk about this a little bit more because I think it's important. But I also want to just quickly finish the other movie we saw. You know, on Friday, you said, it was 4 o'clock. Norm Hano came home early from work. And you said,
I don't want a nap.
And you woke up and you're like, I don't know. Before you took a nap, you said, I'm so tired. I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah.
But before you went to bed and took a nap, you said, I am not shutting my day off. When I get up, I'm going to be productive and work. I set the world on fire.
It was 2 o'clock.
Yeah. And then you were out, and then Armando came home, and then he took a nap with you.
Yeah.
And you were feeling all cozy. It was raining in the background.
Yes.
And you woke up, and you're like, screw it. What's on Netflix? And the first movie we watched of two was not Room of the World.
No, it wasn't.
But that we saw the preview of Room of the World. I'm like, this looks good.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it was campy.
Perfection?
No.
Oh.
The
Room
of the
Room
World.
Room of the World, yes.
And it was at a camp.
Yes.
No, the second one was The Perfection.
We saw that first, though.
Yes. I'll tell you what. I'm still messed up from that movie.
It's a messy movie.
It's a messy movie.
Yes.
Allison... can't think of her name, the last name.
Wilson? No, I don't know her name. Her dad's Brian...
Is it Wilson? Allison Wilson.
Is it?
It is. Yeah, that's it. Brian Wilson.
No, that's the Beach Boys.
I think it's the same name.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
I think.
All right.
But you guys know who I'm talking about. She was on Girls.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's in this movie where she plays a celloist. She doesn't play a cello because that would be really weird, but not too far off from this movie. And she goes back home because she went to a...
And the Music Academy.
Yeah, Music Academy just for cellos. Celloists.
You just like saying
cellos. Catherine Celloist. But anyway, so she has to leave because her mom got sick. Mm-hmm. And she took care of her mom for a decade and then came back and wanted to be a part of the group again. Befriended another celloist. And it makes me laugh. But this movie, I watched it because I saw her on Andy Cohen. Because it wasn't coming up on my trending, for whatever reason.
Well, I can understand that.
It's a pretty wild movie.
Yeah, it's nothing they go, oh, Chris, if you like Room of the World, then you would like The Perfection. No.
No.
It doesn't roll that way.
No. Yeah, because you like effed up shows, you're going to like The Perfectionist.
Yeah.
The Perfection or Perfectionist?
It's just The Perfection.
The Perfection.
Yeah.
I would recommend it. It changed... You kept saying, is this a horror film? Is this a horror film?
Yeah.
I go, yes. And then one scene goes, oh, there it is. Here's how it begins.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh my gosh, this is wild. This is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Apocalyptic, you know, I'm crazy. And then I'm like, oh, well, this is not how it turned out, how I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And then, oh my gosh, this is not how I thought it was going to turn out to be.
It's like the Family Guy in some ways.
Yes.
Where all the walruses are in a room and they're just coming up with what's going to happen next on the Family Guy.
You mean it's like South Park describing how the Family Guy's written?
Yeah, exactly.
An aquarium full of manatees.
Yes.
And all they do is go back and forth picking out different topics and they just put them all together.
Right.
Yes.
And that's the Family Guy.
That's the Family Guy. I kind of, But I'll tell you what, it opened my mind on how to make our movie when we do it
in
Madison in July.
Yeah. Here's what I want to say about that. It's in August, by the way.
We're going to do it. Yes.
We're going to do it. Even though our life is like really, really full right now.
Right.
We're going to do that movie. But here's what I wanted to say about the perfection is that it's, what's that the teacup, where the teacup sings, what's that movie? It's a Disney movie.
Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm. Where they say this is something as old as time.
Yeah.
Something, I forget. Uh-huh. So in what's as old as time, as far as I know, is that men like to think that, you know, when they're away from their family, mm-hmm. and then they think that something horrible is going to happen to their family.
Right.
And maybe something horrible does happen to their family.
Right.
But they catch the perpetrator.
Uh-huh.
That,
right.
The thing, that horrible thing that's happened to their family. And how they want to have a slow death of that perpetrator.
Right.
This is from what I understand.
Okay.
Is that most men think about taking limb by limb by limb.
Oh, interesting.
But keeping the person alive.
Okay.
Yeah. So that has a little bit of basis in this movie.
Okay.
Am I serious? Am I telling the truth?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, okay, good.
But I'm like, are you telling too much? You know?
No, I'm not telling.
Okay. Well, it was so weird because I was watching Gladiator this morning and, you know, his son and wife get killed and he basically starts formulating a plan.
Yeah.
You know, he sends out his law of attraction vibration.
Yeah.
At some point, I want to kill them.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah.
Head of Rome. You know, and he sends it out. And many years later.
Mm-hmm. Just got to wait patiently.
And become a slave.
the story of Joseph.
Exactly. And then become a gladiator.
Still the story of Joseph.
Yeah, exactly. And then years later, you have your opportunity to, you know, take care of the person that took care of your family.
Right.
Isn't that weird? It's like maybe that stuff just doesn't work anymore. Like, maybe I should let it all go and then waste all this time.
Yeah, we let vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So I would say both those movies are worth seeing. Mm-hmm. Definitely both are popcorn movies. The Perfection is not nearly a popcorn movie. I was more just,
yeah.
What the hell am I watching?
I couldn't. Yeah, you don't have time to eat the popcorn during
and
the Perfection.
I believe in my heart, if Allison and I merged together and divided us, we would be ideal weight. because she's so thin. I'm like, that girl is skinny.
And she still walks around the world.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it looks good on her. I mean, but it's when you see people in movies who are, and you go, whoa, she's.
I remember Greg, your brother had a part in, what movie was it? It was a Keanu Reeves movie.
Yeah.
That was being filmed in Chicago. Extra.
Yeah.
Something like a baseball movie. I think it was a football movie.
I don't think it was. Yeah, I think it was. I think he was a baseball coach, yeah. Something like that.
But I had dropped him off. Dad and I had dropped him off, and they were doing this scene in front of a bar or something. And from the distance, I saw the co-star of the movie was Diane Lane,
mm-hmm.
and I did not know. I could see from a distance that it was. You know, I did not know it was Diane Lane at the time. I thought it might have been just. I said to myself, "Oh, that poor girl has cancer."
Yeah,
I just thought, not judging people.
That was your first thought, like, "Oh no," you know, like, "Oh no,"
because she was so painfully thin that I could not imagine anything but a kind of terminal illness,
right,
making you that thin,
right. And yet she looks so normal on screen.
On screen, she looks fine.
And this is why you cannot be on screen. Like, I cannot be on screen.
So this Allison girl, I can't even imagine what she looks like.
In real life.
Yeah.
No.
She might just be, remember, sorry, but Julie and I were taking some pictures of ourselves this week.
Yes, yes.
And for whatever reason, Julie had the camera turned away.
Yes.
And then... You said you tell. It was so funny.
Well, it's so funny because we were doing some video work. Yeah. And then I had going, well, I wonder. And you know how the camera facing out looks better than the camera facing in sometimes. So I'm like, well, I'm going to set this up and just have it facing, yeah, you know.
Except
out.
You didn't tell me.
I didn't tell you. And then, but I've got to switch it on the thing. So I'm, we're videotaping ourselves
right.
from the outside camera,
right.
not the selfie mode. And then I come back and look. I'm like, we're not there.
I said, Julie, we disappeared.
We disappeared.
First, split second, I thought that we weren't real anymore.
I know.
That we just, like the Velveteen Rabbit, we weren't real until somebody loved us.
Exactly.
Then we became real.
And then, but then I showed us love, and I go, and for a split second, I'm like, what the hell happened? I couldn't figure it out either for just a split second.
Yeah.
And I go, oh my goodness, I didn't hit the right button. We're back.
A split second, it was just like me and you, girl. We were in an alternate reality.
Yeah.
And I realized, oh, you know what? For that split second, I understood it all, Julie. The universe was revealed to me. We didn't fit here in this ordinary world. And we were trying to make it in this ordinary world. And it was just, we were just too beautiful for it.
That's right.
We're just too beautiful for this realm, this dimension.
That's right. Exactly. Too beautiful.
The world was never meant for one as beautiful as us.
There you go.
I'm just quoting Starry, Starry Night.
There you go.
Paint your palette blue and gray.
There you go. So I go on. So, but I want to talk again about how much. So last night I came in home and it was like 10 o'clock and you're wide awake. Dad's passed out and you're watching Netflix, but you're watching Riverdale.
Oh, yeah.
And you said Riverdale season, whatever it was.
The next season.
Dropped.
The finals, yeah.
I'm like, okay. And you're like, and I can't stop watching it. This is the best season ever, and it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And my first thought was, well, is Luke Perry in it, or did he not? Mm-hmm. And he goes, yeah, he's in it. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's great. Mm-hmm. He was able to, you know, do it. Mm-hmm. And you said, this is just a wild, wild ride. Mm-hmm. And
I started watching it about 6:30.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And so.
And I finally finished around 3 a.m.
Mom. And yeah. Did you finish the whole? You didn't finish the whole season.
I hope I didn't,
because you want to be involved in it.
I'm ready for some more.
And see, you can't binge on Dish TV. They say you can binge by downloading TV, you know, by downloading it and going to demand and all that stuff. Mm-mm. Isn't the same as Netflix, because Netflix just automatically plays.
I just like watched one long movie without cartoon, without commercials,
and then you just say, has it been 40 minutes?
Yeah, I didn't believe it.
I go, yeah, it's been 40 minutes.
I didn't believe it. I said, Julie, something's wrong with it. They're only like, I felt like it was only 20 minutes that went by.
Right. And you're just like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Right? So.
Tell you what's going on. Okay, they're seniors this year.
Yeah.
And there is nothing but testosterone.
Now, we're not talking senior citizens, are we?
No, baby.
hasn't flashed in the future, has it?
You know, and it's so funny, though, because like when I had my 2 hours of sleep today.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, I did think about Archie.
You have a thing. I think because he's a redhead and you're a redhead.
Yeah.
He's a natural redhead. Wink, wink.
So am I.
You are a natural redhead. Yeah. I was winking because he is not a natural redhead in real life.
Right.
But I'll tell you right now, seniors look like that.
Yeah. I don't understand why I think he's like hot. I have no understanding of that because he's not my normal type guy.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, I said to, you know, in my dreams last night, you know, is it feasible that an older woman would be, you know, could a teenager, 18, be interested? And the first thing, you know, I told him when we got together.
Yeah.
Is, you know, I go, if you're doing this because you think I have money.
Go, I don't.
I really don't. And he said, no, I have the money.
So he thinks, so just with you alone, you were enough.
Yeah.
He liked you just the way you were.
Yeah, just the way I was.
Yeah.
And he was going to bring the money.
Yeah. So that's lovely.
Yeah.
It's total fantasy.
I can see it.
I can see it.
I can see it happening.
I love the story you're telling yourself.
Yeah.
Because we are only but our stories.
Well, and not only that, but. Did not Blake Shelton get a little too old for me?
Yes, he did.
For you. I'm trending younger.
Well, see, in your mind, because you got married at 19 and had me at 20, your story is your life officially stopped.
I stopped there.
So Archie now is becoming your age,
he's
finally.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. Finally, oh, thank God Archie's my age, because now we're the same age. Because I literally stopped at 19. That's
my developmental growth.
Exactly.
That could be my superhero power.
Oh, really?
You know, so there's some.
You are perpetually. Instead of forever 21, you're forever 19.
Yeah. The end of the world's coming, and they need some senior citizen that really thinks like a 19-year-old.
Yeah. It's you.
Hello.
Except that you like hang out with the 19-year-olds and like going, this is freaking me out. I can't have this.
They're like, go, wait, what about Chris? We gotta pick Chris up.
Chris comes out in her little you know,
roller
cruiser. It was so funny. I watched a little bit of an old Saturday Night Live or a couple weeks old Saturday Night Live. It was on my DVR, and there was one scene where. Is it Mike Pierce? Who's the guy who dated Ariana Grande and, you know.
Yeah, that dude. Yeah, Pete Davidson.
Pete Davidson. Yeah. He's doing a rap, and he's rapping about how he loves Game of Thrones. And but it's in the rapping, he says something false, like, oh, we know you don't listen, you don't watch Game of Thrones, you're just a faker. He goes, well, what? I have to actually rap about shows I really love? Mm-hmm. He goes, yeah, you can't rap about anything but shows that you really love. Mm-hmm. He goes, all right, well, here it goes. He goes, what's it called? Is it Frankie and Alex? Who's Frankie and...
Oh, Frankie and Grace?
Frankie and Grace. I love Frankie and Grace. And he just starts rapping. And then Callen guy, that rapper, you know, J.L. Callen.
Yeah.
He comes in and starts rapping about Frankie and Grace. And then... Paul Rudd comes in. He starts rapping about how he loves Frankie and Grace. Yeah. And it was just a love fest on Frankie and
so
Grace.
Sweet.
And I'm just like, yes, we all get it.
Yeah.
Because what we want to believe is that when we're in our 80s, we still are cool. And we have all the money we possibly need to do the things we want to do.
We live on the ocean and we have all the sex we want.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. We're actually still, and we're okay with saying we don't really want to travel the world. Mm-mm. We want to have a good time where we're at.
Yeah, we want to live on the ocean. We want to never have to deal with snow.
We want to have sold our business for $1 billion.
Yeah, we want to be sexually active.
Yes.
You know, and like if we find somebody like that we would like, even though we are maybe dating someone, we want the option.
Right.
Meaning we haven't shut it down yet.
Right, exactly.
It's still open for business.
Exactly. Mine's been shut down for a while. I have a comeback later sign. Doug always goes, what's going on? Oh, my comeback later sign. Come back about 20 minutes now. I'm out to lunch now. I'm trying to work that joke in because you set me up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where is that joke yet? It's not there. Yeah. But on the fly, it's hard to think of them.
It could be fire sale.
Yeah.
Going out of business or going. That I used to
We're
get
a dry
confused.
Season.
I used to get confused when I came to Chicago because I would see like signs that would be like going and usually coming down from the mid, you know, like St. Louis area. If you had a going out of business sale, that meant things were on sale, you know.
Yeah, like things are on sale, really. And you're really going out of business.
I didn't look at it close enough. It would say going out for business.
Yes.
And I'm like, you rat finks. But that's going to be my sign on my vajayjay.
Oh.
Going out for business.
Going out for business. I like it.
Yeah. Of course, living in the beach, there could be some grains of sand in there.
Possibly. Living on the beach, I'm sure.
That could hurt.
Yeah. That's not a very attractive thing to do, you know?
Mm.
I mean, come on, right?
Sand sex. Sand in your coochie.
Yeah. That's really only for the youth.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Sand sex. Come on. That's...
It's for the youth.
Yeah.
Because you don't know better.
Yeah.
And then once you've done it, you're like, oh, I know better now. This is silly.
Yeah, I want a $2,000 mattress.
Yeah, exactly. I want lots of pillows.
I want diffuse lighting.
Exactly. Or none.
Yeah.
Diffuse.
Candles.
Candles from a distance. We're basically just like feeling around here. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
I think I want the smell of oleander.
Oleander.
Or jasmine.
Not patchouli, because that's I am not a patchouli girl.
No.
Mm-hmm. It just smells like hippies to me.
Yeah. If you get in bed with me and you're like, oh my God, she smells like patchouli.
If I get in bed with you, or just in general, if Archie comes to bed with you and you smell like patchouli,
That's not going to happen, Archie.
No, no, you do Clinique.
Either that or maybe Lincoln. I can try the smell of Teen Spirit.
That's your goal with Archie. That's your goal with Archie. Brilliant. I thought that was really funny. I was listening to.
Yeah, Julie's giving me kudos.
I know, which is something my brother hates when I do that, by the way. I don't care. I don't care, Greg. I don't care if you're listening to this podcast and you go, gosh, she broke the third wall. I go, is there really a wall when podcasting?
No wall anymore. No.
We know you're listening. Yeah. We're trying to be natural and let you into our family.
Yeah.
Because what do we always say, Mom? This is our best hour we have of the whole week.
Yes.
Does that mean that we're losers? I try to, and our best hour of the week, we talk about Netflix. And I'll talk about a podcast to listen to. Milo. You remember Milo Yanavanovich?
Yes. He's freaking me out, by the way.
Well, you haven't gotten to the freaky part of the podcast.
Oh, right. And I haven't, and yet he's still freaking me out.
Yes.
Because I feel like this. Am I becoming the extreme right-wing Republican?
Hell no. Here's what we know. When you have these longer interviews, you meet people, other sound bites, and you meet people, and guess what? We're all the same. We all want to be loved. We all want to love our families.
We're all gay.
Yeah, we all want to take care of each other. And then as we dive deeper, and you can pick out the sound bites, which his sound bites have gotten him into trouble, but you can never explain him away, you know? Hearing him talk, literally about 30 minutes before the podcast ends, he brings up, now I didn't know this was there, you know, being a Catholic, but not a practicing Catholic necessarily, but he said, there is a part of the Catholic leadership or bishops or whatever, and it's called the, I think he called it the gay liberal mafia bishops. Like, gay liberal mafia.
Whoa.
I'm like they're really progressive.
Wow.
And
did you find out more about the gay liberal mafia?
He talked about it a lot.
Bishops?
I'm like, and I was listening to it with Doug, and he was like, this. What the hell are we listening
to? What am I listening to, Julie?
What is it?
I'm like, shh. I'm listening. I got to find out about the gay liberal mafia bishops.
Because this really affects me in no way. I might just throw an hour of my time away.
But I would be willing to donate that hour of my time to find out more about the gay liberal mafia bishops.
Yes.
Because I believe there probably is something
He wrote
similar.
A book about it.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yes.
Is that what he was hawking?
No, he wasn't hawking anything at the moment, per se. He's got a lot of seeds out there.
Uh-huh.
And he, including his ego, I swear to God, his ego couldn't be any bigger.
Don't you kind of love people like that, though? You can't live with them.
I think if him and I merged together and, like, cut us in half, we both would have healthy egos. Like, it's a healthy ego.
You got Allison.
Yeah. If I can merge together and like split us apart, I'm like, we both be a healthy weight.
Healthy weight.
And then him and I, if we merge together and split us in half, like, we both would have a nice, healthy ego.
So to have a Milo, you got to have a you. Or like, today I feel like a piece of shit.
Yeah, I think I said to you yesterday.
Yeah.
I said, I just feel like a piece of shit.
No, Julie. Today I feel like a piece of shit.
I go, well, listen, I feel like a piece of shit that's been walked on and trampled through. Like, okay, well, there you go.
Okay, you win today.
Yeah, today you win.
Yeah. But Milo, that's a good ego.
Oh, my
God. And he said something, too. I thought, I need to finish that interview.
Yes.
But
and please
say
don't
something.
Say that you are turning conservative, because you're not.
No.
But what you do hear is how everybody's very, very similar.
Yeah. What I liked was what he got in trouble for, you know, a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Was that he said that he had it was a conscious choice that he had a gay affair with a priest.
Yes.
And they all thought that he was a victim of sexual abuse by a priest. And he said, no, but what he did say was in the gay culture, it is not uncommon to be taken advantage of that's not the right word.
No, he says
it's a choice. I'm saying it all wrong.
Tutored. in some sense. Mentored.
Beautiful.
Yes. Coached. Coached into.
Mentored, tutored, coached by an older Catholic priest into gayness. And he said he was already gay.
Yeah. And so.
But he needed a mentor.
Yeah.
And there was, fortunately.
And that's what he got in trouble for saying.
He got in trouble for saying that.
I understand why he got in trouble for saying that.
Oh,
because especially moms out there and dads are like, we don't want anybody schooling our kid, our 14-year-olds about sex, except for us. You know,
and your pee pee goes into another pee pee,
and then that's how
that's
baby,
enough.
And that's more than enough.
It's more than enough, you'll need to know.
Yeah, and never take your underwear off. That's how babies are made. You don't want that. But it was so he got in trouble for that, and I am not going to pass judgment on any of this because the one thing I do believe that people should be have the right to say stuff. And then work things out. Because as I say things, yes. I'm like, I got to tweak this a little bit. Yeah. I'm not saying things clearly.
Right.
And if you pulled out something from I said years ago,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, I don't necessarily believe that.
Exactly.
Now, I've worked it out.
Right.
But if we're also afraid to work things out,
yeah.
then all we have is sanitized language.
We'll have, what did Martin Luther King say? We'll have a blind society and a toothless. You know,
I have no idea.
Oh, really?
I didn't know he said anything about that.
Martin Luther King.
I mean, I know him. Yeah. He had a dream.
Yeah, but he said something like, he was to turn the other cheek or something about teeth and being blind. Oh. He said, we'll have a toothless society or a blind something.
Don't make
me ask Alexa. I'm not,
please don't. Don't even do it there. Please
right,
don't do it.
She gets mad at me.
Well, also, I don't want to waste that kind of time.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't know. You want to try?
People, you can hear Julie abusing me. You know, it's okay. It's okay. I take it. But no, I agree with you about the you know, that you can say something from, and he says that in the ensuing couple of years,
mm-hmm.
because he listened to what people were saying.
Right.
And he said now, because he has a 16-year-old son.
A stepson, yep.
Excuse me, a 16-year-old stepson. And if something like that would happen to him, he would be outraged.
Right.
And he said it took that.
It took that to get there.
Experience for him to get there to say, yeah, you know what? I think I might have been abused, but I just didn't know it because I have the way, you know, blah, blah, blah. I guess I'm getting this right.
You are getting it right because also, and I thought Jordan made a good point about this. He goes, you remember who you were. Not through your own eyes and how it affected you. So you, like, you don't remember the fact that when you see a 14-year-old kid now, you're going, oh, that kid is stupid.
Right.
But in your mind, when you were 14, you thought you were smart and you wouldn't let this happen. Yeah. You were all in there.
I can handle this.
Yeah.
I can remember at 14, maybe I was even like 15 or 16. You know, my parents had said, never get in the car with a stranger.
Right.
But like I was at a bus stop going, you know, to St. Louis to work, and a guy pulled over and said, I'm going to St. Louis, you know, no need to pay the bus fare. I'll take you right with me.
Yeah.
And I got in the car.
Yeah.
So I would not, well, maybe I do that now again. I don't know, but I would not do that anymore.
Right.
Because I thought that at that age, I could handle what getting into a car with a stranger.
Right, exactly. But the truth is, looking back, going, that was ridiculous. And so, so you realize that we don't see things clearly in our own past.
Right.
But somebody else is going, wait, that just was wrong. And right. I think that was wrong. I think now had a coming of Jesus moment.
Right.
But anyway, can I tell you the quote from Martin Luther King now?
You got it?
Yes, because you shamed me. You daughter shamed me.
How?
By saying that I'm abusing you.
Oh. I always pull that card out when I don't get my way.
You always say, there was one time in our life, I think about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe even a decade ago, well, you were nowhere, you know, you weren't an elderly, but you kept saying, this is like elderly abuse. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is like elderly abuse. I'm going to have to call somebody. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm just like, okay, Mom, I don't know what's going on here, but I feel
I was just exercising my superpower.
Yes. shutting me down. Okay, so here's Martin Luther King joke. Now, this is what I put in.
Maybe I would do this to the aliens. I would be like the mean mother.
Yes,
like,
you would.
I would shame the aliens.
So I put in my search, my Bing search, Martin Luther King quote, blind toothless. I go, let's see what happens.
Am I close?
100%.
Okay.
If we do an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, we will become a blind and toothless nation.
Yay!
If we do an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, we will be a blind and toothless nation. That is a quote.
Wait.
There's different kinds.
What was the quote again? If we're for what?
If we do an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, we will be blind and toothless nation. Mm-hmm. And I guess they changed the texture a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. If we do an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, we will be a blind and toothless nation. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the difference is, but. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there you go.
I think it's more like toothless.
Toothless.
I was going to be a blind and toothless nation.
Because you have no teeth.
That's right.
Exactly. You have no teeth. That's exactly right. So, going back to the stories, because we were talking about running the lines, telling your own story. I always picked up my old book. I do this sometimes from Abraham Hicks. If you don't know her, know it. But she's like, Abraham Hicks is that non-physical entity that kind of really coined law of attraction back in the day.
Yeah, and and Hicks is her last name.
Yeah.
And her first name is Esther. But when she writes a book and she channels this entity of many people, but have one name.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the opposite of Cher. She has one name, but she's one person.
Right.
Think of, maybe just like a lot of people, but one name. What would be like?
Like Americans.
Yeah.
One name?
Army.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know?
So Abraham is a lot of wise entities.
And so
she calls her people, her children, Abraham Hicks.
Okay, yes.
That's how I see it.
Oh, I like it. But in the book she was writing about...
She may tell us differently if she was here.
Who knows?
Abraham would go, whatever.
Whatever, Fred. Not important.
Whatever, ever, never. never, ever.
But
sorry, go ahead.
Where we talk about, there's a part of, in clearing up your past, you kind of have to tell it like it is.
Yeah.
And so that you can start forgiving and working things out to tell a better story, right?
Yes,
there's a process to be done.
Right.
Where she's like, and she said in her book, the biggest thing that you guys have done in regards to miscreating is telling it like it is.
Yeah.
That's been the worst thing you can do for yourself.
Is that what she says?
Yes.
I heard that differently.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, how'd you hear it?
I heard it as like the worst thing you could do is tell like how, no, maybe I didn't hear it differently, but like to tell like a really good story.
Yeah.
Or something.
Well, you have to, because there's a way of telling it like it is without telling it like it is, without focusing on the negative side of
it. Yeah.
Except that when we were,
I never get that part.
You know why? Because there is a part that just sounds like you're lying to me.
Yeah.
You're telling me what I want to hear. Yeah. And
consequently, Julie, we have given a few $1,000s to people who we thought were going to do some tech work for us, but realized they were just telling us what we wanted to hear.
Yeah, they were just,
we're not saying they're lying. They were just
hoping.
They were telling it. They were telling a better story.
Yeah. You're like, okay.
So now we're like, oh, wait a minute. Can you really do this work? Or are you just telling a better story?
Exactly. Can you do this work? Or are you telling what I want to hear so I can give you some money and not get my job done?
Julie said, really, honestly, people, I have to tell you, you don't even understand how wise this girl is.
Mm. Thank you.
We're fortunate to hear her. But a couple of days ago, it was very quiet, and she did say this, and I took it down, and she said, Mama, just if you tell people what they want to hear, they're going to probably tend to believe you.
Yes.
I went,
What?
Shut the front door.
We might have been talking about our president at the time.
I'm like, people, take this down. We've got to crochet this on a bed pillow.
Exactly.
We've got to put it on a wall poster.
So you're saying, is it marketing? So if I tell people what they want to hear, they're going to be more apt to believe me.
Yes.
Like, yeah. That's,
Yeah.
Yeah. And you might as well give me $80,000 for your master's degree in marketing. Yes. Because that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And Julie, I was like, oh my God, my daughter's a genius.
I appreciate that.
I'm going to continue quoting you for a long time, girlfriend.
Oh, thank you.
Marketing, not 101.
Yeah.
No, this is graduate.
So can I do a little Lyme update? We got about 2 minutes left. Lyme disease update.
Yeah.
So everybody knew I had Lyme disease a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
You had it for a long time. Meningitis.
Yes.
You had vision issues.
Yeah, it was a hardcore case.
Yes.
I had the bug bite. It looked like a bug bite. I didn't see the bug bite until someone goes, what is that in the back of your knee? And luckily we took a picture of it.
Yeah.
Because no one believed me it was Lyme disease.
Yeah.
But anyway, Doug and I went for a walk, and we went, and anyway, I came back and I had a tick on me.
Yes.
Now I had checked myself over beforehand.
Yeah.
This little booger was the size of a poppy seed.
Wow.
And he was fast.
Wow.
He was fast.
He was trying to burrow in on you.
He was just walking around like crazy, trying to find some moist spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you don't know how old I am. There's not one moist spot on me. No, I'm just joking, people. We're good. So I just want to say, let's just be more vigilant.
Oh, you're going to do like a tick update or tick,
hey.
No, a tick alert.
A tick alert. Yeah. It's that time of year, everyone. Aww. Let's take care of yourselves. Take a shower every
night. Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Exactly.
Because check for ticks.
I know people talk about having chronic Lyme disease. I don't think I had that. I mean, I saw the bug bite. I got sick really fast. Within a month, I was hospitalized.
Yeah.
And
you were sick, girl.
I was sick. Yeah. And then a month of antibiotics felt, you know, got better.
A little better.
And then, boom, you know.
Did your vision fully back, by the way?
Yeah. I mean, I've lost cells, but I see better than most. Mm-hmm. So I can't complain.
Do you still have that hole?
No, I don't have that. I don't have the blind spot.
Right. That's what I was
But thank God for the blind spot, because that got me to the emergency room.
Yeah.
And I just want to let you know, I am not right. Yeah. I've got a fever that won't go down. My blood pressure's up, and I got a blind spot. This can't all be right.
Yeah.
But overall, you wouldn't think I was bad. I looked okay.
And plus, you had mama, my neck hurts in the back of my head. That's a total symptom of meningitis.
Yes.
I can remember being in the emergency room with you. I'll never forget that. Dad and I were there, and a doctor comes in and a nurse, and they're both in full.
Yeah. They have masks on now.
They're like full mask and all, you know, everything. And they go, you have Lyme disease and meningitis. And we went, thank you, Jesus.
I go, yay.
Thank you. And they looked, I can remember they looked shocked. Like,
this is not good news.
He goes, this is not good news. And we went, yeah, because we had thought, you know, that you were going to die or something.
Yeah.
Well, we knew you could conquer this.
Right. I just kept telling you because I was getting bad fast.
Yeah.
I said, they're either going to figure this out, or I'll keep getting worse until they figure it out.
Yeah.
Or I'll die. And at some point, I'll be so bad off, I'll just be like, thank you.
Yeah. Julie, you're so brave. That's probably your superhero That's your superhero power.
Yeah. And my problem. I know.
You are, honey.
Thank you. So, girlfriend, how was the show today?
Oh, you know what? Mm. It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.